You are listening to the Mountain View Community Church Sermon Podcast. We're glad to share this message with you. Our mission is to help you discover the joy and peace of Jesus, develop your God-given gifts, and deploy into a life of kingdom service. You can learn more about our church at mountainviewnepa.org.
Yeah, so last week we talked about the need for a mission. Talking about military operations and political campaigns, who thinks that any politician that's running is running, they have a mission, right? Anyone who's running for office, they have a goal, and they set out and they make a plan, and then they follow it, right? The rent is too darn high guy did not have a very good plan, right? When he tried to run, he just had a slogan, and he didn't have a plan, and that's why none of you even probably know who he is. So I got our mission statement. I'm going to have it up here. I'm just going to read this. The mission of Mountain View Community Church is to help people discover the love and peace of Jesus, develop their God-given gifts, and deploy into a life of kingdom service. And you can leave that up. A mission statement is formed as we consider like some of the important words we learned as little kids, right? Who, what, when, where, why, how. Who learned those as a kid? The five W's and the H. That's how I learned it, right? And so we're working through like the three that are important: the why, the what, and then there's a how. We're not going to talk a lot about the why. Is important. Why do we gather here this morning? Why do we do a trunk or treat? Why do we have kids ministry happening across the hall? There's a nursery downstairs. My wife's with the older kids. Why do we do those things? We do those things because Jesus loved the world so much that he came and he died for our sins. He died not just to pay a penalty for death, not just to get us into heaven so we can play a harp on a cloud someday for 10,000 years. No, he came so that his new life could restore things and heal our brokenness and help us to have right relationships with our family and with our friends. We do this because salvation came to the world through Jesus, not just when he died, but when he rose again to new life. We do this because when people hear about the good news of Jesus, they can experience new life. And I don't know about all of you, but I like the new life. And I like to see people have their lives restored. I love when people acknowledge how broken their life was, and when Jesus came in, he makes repair to that. We do it because it's good to share good news with the people you love, right? It's good to share the good things happening in our life with those around us. I want to read our verses for this morning. Matthew 28, 16 to 20, and then Matthew 22, 36 to 40. This is the Great Commission. It's what Jesus said to his disciples. This is like the one sentence, two sentence thing Jesus said. Now, I'm gone. I'm ascending to the Father. You 11 and your friends, like you guys, this is what you're going to do. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always, to the end of the age." And in chapter 22, Jesus was teaching, and a Pharisee, an expert in the law, stood up, and he asked a question. Later we're going to talk about questions. This is not the kind of question I'm going to talk about later. He asked a question because he wanted to trick Jesus. It's not a good guy to try to trick. He said to him, 36, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" And Jesus said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. It's quoting an Old Testament passage. And actually, in the Hebrew, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then there's a fourth thing on there, and it says, with all your every. It says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with everything you have, love God. The lifeblood of Mountain View Community Church is these two passages, the Great Commission, right? This is what God sent us to do, and the Great Commandment. What we're to do when God sends us, this is what we do. We love our neighbor as ourselves. And we do these things because we want to make our Father happy, right? Isn't it good to make our Heavenly Daddy happy? I know my kids, I have some over here actually, like they draw pictures. And you know, in here, pause the recording for a second. They're not always very good. My older kids are better. But sometimes it's just scribbles on a paper and they run up and say, Daddy, I made this for you. Wow! And if I took it and I said, what in the world is this? Circles and threw it down. They're probably not going to do it very often. But when they hand it to me, I'd say, wow, this is amazing. This is a great picture. Can you tell me what is this? Tell me about this. This, I love this picture. Thank you. And they are encouraged by making their father happy. And that's how we live, right? That's a positive thing in our life. We want to make the Father in heaven happy, not for salvation, right? We're not trying to obey Jesus and do what Jesus said so that we can earn salvation. No, we do it as a response to salvation. It's the opposite. It's the effect, not the cause. For example, why be baptized? Is baptism necessary for salvation? No. But is willingness to be baptized necessary for salvation? Right? Yeah. Because Jesus said to do it. And so if Jesus said to go be baptized, we get baptized. That's what Jesus told us to do. And so, you know, the thief hanging on the cross, he was never baptized, but he was still saved. But had he not been in the middle of being crucified and dying, he probably would have gone and been baptized. It's a response to the goodness of God in our lives. The why of the why, what, and how of forming a mission statement, the why never changes. Here it was the same in the 70s and 80s when this building was built and the church was moved out of Whitehaven Town. It was the same in 1860 when this group of 30 people got together and said, something in our church is not right and something in our church doesn't feel good, and let's gather together and worship and pray together. The why has been the same ever since then, that God sent us as the believers of the people of God into the world to share the good news of Jesus. But the what we do should change occasionally. The how is going to be different person to person. I don't know if you guys know, but if you were to go attend Shirley's small group on Sunday mornings, and you were to attend a small group with me, and you were to attend Deb's small group that's coming up, or Bonnie's that's coming up, or a small group with my wife leading it, right? Those might all look a little different. But they all are seeking to advance the kingdom of God through Mountain View Community Church, to advance the mission of Jesus in the world. And our mission statement tells us the what. Last week, we focused on can I get the mission statement back up for a second? I'm going to read the text again in a minute, and then I'm going to have you put it back up. But last week, we talked about the first line, right? We want to help people discover the love and peace of Jesus, right? We don't hide things that are important to us. If you have a kid and your kid gets elected the valedictorian of the school, you're going to tell people. You might put it on Facebook, right? We don't hide the things that are good in our lives. If you got a promotion at work, usually you're going to tell people about it. At least you tell your spouse or you tell your close friends. And when you find new peace in life, when you find new peace with Jesus, you're going to tell people about it. So I'm going to read these passages again and pray, and then we'll keep going. So Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. This is the word of the Lord. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." And again, in Matthew 22, the Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" And Jesus said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands." It's the word of the Lord to us this morning. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to follow you. We want to obey you. We want to obey you because you loved us, Lord. And we know that it won't earn more love. We know that it won't earn your favor in any special way because we have that already, Lord. And we just want to make you happy, Father. So God, we just ask you to be in this place, Lord. We confess we don't always love you with our full hearts. We confess we don't always follow you with the rigor and the energy that we should or we wish we could or we want to. But Lord, we thank you for new mercies every morning. We thank you for new mercies every hour, for every minute, Lord. When we mess up or when we say something wrong or when we do something wrong, Lord, that you're quick to forgive and slow to be angry with us. So Lord, in these next few moments, Lord, with the meditations of our hearts together and the words of my mouth, I pray that it's pleasing to you, Lord, and I pray that we can grow together as the people of God in this place, at Mountain View Community Church, Lord. Would you come and be with us, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So our mission statement has three parts. Salvation, right? Because we want people that are far from God to experience new life and peace. Sanctification, which is a fancy word for becoming more like Jesus, right? Sanctification, because God loves us all right where we are, but he doesn't want to leave us in our brokenness. It's been said often, in other words, it's okay not to be okay, but God doesn't want you to stay that way. And then a word I made up, gospelization. Because the kingdom of God, right, the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God permeates. I'm using that word on purpose. It permeates, it penetrates, it goes throughout all the cracks and crevices of culture. In all the parts of our lives, the love of God wants to touch every part of us. And so the mission statement helps us to answer this question about if we should do something as a church. This is the question. Does it help us to advance the mission of Jesus or the kingdom of God through Mountain View Community Church? That's the question that guides us as we decide to do Trunk or Treat or not. So our focus this week is on sanctification, right? On helping people to develop their God-given gifts, on helping people to grow in their spiritual lives to be more like Jesus. Now, there's more than one or two ways to grow in our relationship with Jesus, right? To grow in our God-given gifts. Who knows? There's more than one or two ways to grow with Jesus. But did you know that, like, there's a few things about our spiritual gifts that I don't know if everyone really knows. I didn't know this, and I kind of thought about it a lot over the last, like, decade. But, you know, your spiritual gifts are something you're born with. And I use this example because it's an extreme example, but like Hitler had spiritual gifts. And he didn't have Jesus to sanctify those gifts for good things, but he had a spiritual gift of public speaking, right? He had a spiritual gift for communication with people, and it was used for evil, not for good. But all people, whether you believe in Jesus or not, have spiritual gifts in your life. God weaves you together in a particular way with particular skill sets and particular struggles and particular things that you enjoy and love doing. But today I'm just going to talk about three particular ways to grow. These three particular ways are understanding our identity, being in small groups, and asking hard or honest questions. It's important because it's the growing in our God-given gifts is the focal point of the mission statement, right? The first part, to discover peace and love in Jesus, is the entryway into the kingdom of God, and you go from that to a life to try to be like, more like Jesus. And as you live a life trying to be more like Jesus, you naturally want to go into a life of kingdom service. This is a key part of the mission statement. It's super important that we gospelize those who we come in contact with. We gospelize every aspect of our life. The natural outcome of forming our lives to look like Jesus is that when we're at work, whether you're a plumber or a pastor or a lawn care person or you're a snow plower, right, you allow the gospel to shape and form how you interact in that job, in that world, with your coworkers. So again, I have some sentences I wrote a particular way. And so just like last week and just like I will next week, I got a couple of these. I'm going to read like exactly how I have them because I phrased them particularly. Jesus has called the church to bring reconciliation to the whole world. Every individual has a unique combination of gifts and personality that have never existed in another person. Did you know that? Never before. Your gifts and skills were given to you so that the world can be better. We are not simply consumers of God's grace, but we bring the love and peace of Jesus everywhere that we go. We equip and teach our community to view themselves as emissaries of the kingdom of God. So understanding our identity is my first way. It's actually, I think, in my ministry, in my time, I started out in ministry at a college campus at Syracuse University, which at one point was a seminary, and it's far from a seminary now. But in doing ministry to 18, 19, 20-somethings, one of the things I found, and it's carried through into my ministry to like full-grown adults, not just young adults too, is that we so often build up a false identity. My friend Bruce Hankey calls it stinking thinking, right? When you think bad things, these negative and untrue things about ourselves that aren't in line with what God says about us. The world We're barraged every day with identity statements. Did you know that? Like, your sexual preference is your identity, right? That's a very huge thing in our culture right now, particularly in high schools, not just in high schools, coming into like elementary schools, not an Emmanuel Christian school. My kids are two of the four that go there. Right? Or you know, we see this on the news. Is your skin color the thing that is your primary identity, the primary identifying factor about you? Or how much money do you have? Or the brand of phone you use? If you don't have an iPhone, you can't be a member here. Okay? I want blue texts from all of you people, okay? Blue. Right? Or your drink preferences. Are you Coke or Pepsi? Or do you, like my wife sometimes does, calls it pop? It's not a sound, it's a drink, it's soda, right? Whether you're too young or too old or too middle-aged to be that is the thing, right? Are you a person? Are you an image bearer of God? No, you're an old person. Well, that, you know, it's altering the primary thing that God sees about you, and that is that you are an image bearer of God, the creator of the universe. And God wants you to have your identity based on Christ and his word. Did you know that something can only be rightly valued if it's rightly identified? Who watches any of those pawn reality shows? I only watch them on clips. Yeah, shameful hands up, it's okay. There's a scene I saw recently. This woman comes in with this little baggie of gemstones that she brings in, and she says, like, my mother passed away. I'm trying to gather money to pay for the funeral expenses. I don't know if these are worth anything, and she just leaves them. And the pawn people say, well, they kind of look like they're just colored glass. They're worthless, right? But we'll have a gem expert come in and look at them. They're coming anyway. We'll have them look at them. And so, okay. And they say, well, what do you think you want to get for them? And she said, well, I don't know, $50, maybe $100 if you can. They goes, well, we'll see what we can do. So she leaves these seven stones there thinking, well, I might come back and get $40 or $50. And when the gem expert looks at them, he says, these six are just glass. They're worthless. But this one is a particular kind of ruby. And then the woman came back who had asked for $50 for these stones, she got $20,000. She was only asking for $50. I think she was happy. I like on the one when that happens and the person says, you know why you're going to take $10,000 or $20,000 for this? Because you were going to take $50. I just made you a whole lot of money. Have you ever thrown anything away only to realize later it was worth a lot of money? Right? Horror stories of college students who go off to college and they come back for Christmas vacation and mama has cleaned out the room and thrown out all those little rectangular cardboard pieces with people on them in baseball gear, only to find out there was valuable cards in there. And so how do we better understand our identity from God? How do we look at ourselves and our initial thoughts might be, wow, I'm a terrible person. Or, wow, I sinned again today, and so God couldn't possibly view me as an image bearer of God. God couldn't possibly view me as a bringer of the kingdom of God into the world around me because I failed again. Did you know that the primary way which God speaks to people through is the written word of God? There was a time when the voice would come, right, and I'll just say, I believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. I believe God speaks in supernatural ways to people. I believe God speaks to a heart and says, like this person, go to that person over there. Their leg needs to be healed. Go pray for them, right? And you don't know the person. I believe in that. But the primary way, that's the exception to the norm, the primary way is through the Word of God, the written Word of God. How often do you crack your Bible open? This isn't a guilt thing. Right? I'm not great at opening this every day. Can I tell you that I don't always open it every day? Can I stay your pastor if I do that? I just lost my job. Whoops. So I don't want to guilt you. I don't want you to think, oh, I have to read this book, and you know what? I'm going to punish myself extra. I'm getting the Authorized Version, 1611 version, older than King James even. I'm getting the one that doesn't even have the letter J in it, so I can read thine word, thou, O Lord. And I'm not making fun of you. If you like the King James Version, I love you, and I love your Bible. I'm not making fun of you. I'm poking fun at the language. John Maxwell, you guys know who John Maxwell is? He's a guy who, like, is like a leadership guru. He's a teacher. He's a podcaster now. He's got like 8 bajillion books on leadership and organizational processes. This is something I heard recently that he said. He said, you know, if you want a tree to fall down, right? If you go outside every day with your axe and you hit the base of a tree 5 times and you set your axe down and you go inside, and the next day you come back and you take that axe and you hit it 5 times, you go back inside. That eventually, that might be months if it's a big tree or days if it's a little tree, that tree will fall down. They said that you don't need to chop the entire tree down in one day, but you do need to chop at the tree every day. I think that's true about the scripture. We fall away from reading the Word of God, and it's such a simple thing. And when we do that, it becomes easier to skip a day, and it becomes easier to skip a week, and it becomes easier to skip a month. That's why I love audio Bibles. I don't have my phone on me. Audio Bibles are great. Because sometimes I feel like I don't have time, because I don't know if you know, I have four kids. So sometimes my time is a little tight in the mornings, and I can pop my earphones in, or I can put it on in the car after I drop my kids off from school when I'm driving here. I can put on the scriptures and listen to them, and that counts, okay? It counts as reading. I'm listening. Right? Oh, okay. I got nervous. I was like, okay. I've been relying on this as a way to get the Word of God into my head, because sometimes early in the morning I don't have time to crack it open. And that's, you find ways to get the Word of God in you daily, often as you can. And this is a statement I wrote about the value, that our identity is rooted in Christ and His Word. We believe that our true identity and value is found in Jesus. Jesus has created each of us uniquely and fully, and there is nothing we can do to make Him love us any more, and nothing we can do to make Him love us any less. The world would have us find our identity in things that fade, money, accomplishments, the praises of others. However, what the Bible tells us about how Jesus sees us should define how we see ourselves and how we interact with others. The end of this is just as important as others, right? It affects how we see ourselves. If we believe we're an image bearer of God, that's one thing. I'm going to move that so I don't slip. It affects how I view myself, how I live my life. If I view myself as an image bearer of God or as like a piece of junk. If I view myself as an image bearer of God, the one who God loves, who God died even for me, for my sins, that I could be made new and experience healing from my brokenness. But it also informs how we view other people. It informs us how we view the coworker or that other driver that cut in front of us or the DMV worker. Our entire ability to finish life well and remain faithful centers on our understanding of who we are and whose we are. I still have a long way to go and not a lot of time. Another way that God speaks to us is through other Christians in our lives. Have you ever had someone close to you say something to you that revealed an understanding you didn't have about your current situation, right? The only way to really experience this is to get to know other people authentically and honestly and really be known by them, not known by, I'm blessed and highly favored, amen. When your car's broken down, your wife left you, the dog's sick, and the kids don't like you. Community can be difficult. When a person offends us or disagrees with a strongly held viewpoint, there can be a tension or a discomfort. Christians unite under the banner of God's love and salvation. Authenticity is the way of Christian community and relationships, the way of Christian fun and forgiveness. Life's messy. Falling in a mud puddle when you're a kid isn't fun if you're alone, but it's fun if you're with a bunch of kids, right? A kitchen with pancake batter splattered on the walls, if you're with your kids or your spouse, can be a source of laughter, right? Wow, that's really funny. Like, just drop the bowl and the batter went all over the place. But if your kitchen is splattered with pancake batter and you're alone, well, it's just a chore. Unless you're an introvert, and then you're happy. But like, so can I just like beg you guys to do something? If I could have like one practice that you would do, like read your Bible every day. But if there was a second thing I could have you do, find a group of people and get together every week and share a meal or share a Bible study or like do a fun activity and talk about Jesus. Find a group of like-minded people, of other Christians, like 48 out of the 52 weeks of the year, right? You don't have to do the math, but like often and regularly find people, usually people in your same life stage, but you know what? It's important to be with people ahead of you in life and behind you in life. A zebra is still a zebra, but when a zebra runs alone in the prairie, it gets eaten by a lion. Finally, the only way we have real authenticity is by asking hard and authentic questions. The only way we can get answers to life's troubles and find the wholeness that others have found is by asking hard and authentic questions, not pedantic questions, not gotcha questions, right? Oh, well, can God make a rock so big he can't lift? Well, that's not an authentic question. No, not one person has ever authentically asked that question, except maybe the first person that thought of it. It's a problem with our political climate. No one asks questions about what they want to learn. Who watched the debate, one of the debates, actually saying, I might change sides who I'm going to vote for? It's not helpful dialogue in a debate. You're not actually, I mean, some of you are, but I don't know anybody that would say to me with, like, true, like, honesty, I watched that debate because I'm trying to figure out who I'm going to vote for, right? Inauthenticity is so rampant in our culture that we don't even see it. And so I'm gonna land quick here. I'm gonna read this one more to you. We ask questions. This is a safe place for the spiritually curious. So if you don't know Jesus or love Jesus, you're welcome, and you're welcome to ask me the hardest question you have. I have an answer to can God lift rocks so hard? Can't lift. I have an answer, but not right now. We want everyone to be comfortable asking questions and having conversations about hard topics. We're all on our own faith journey. And no question is too big or too small for Jesus. This is a growing community. Mountain View Community Church is a growing community seeking to follow Jesus faithfully and learning together how to do that in our everyday lives together. You know, Jesus modeled authenticity to us. Did you know that? That on the night Jesus was going to be arrested, he knelt down in a garden and he said, Father, I don't want to die. Do you know that Jesus modeled authenticity? And in a moment, we're going to partake of communion together. You know, communion reminds us we need a Savior. Communion reminds us we can't do it on our own. We cannot just look inwardly to find strength and to find new life and to find good things, right? New life comes without. It comes from outside. It comes from God, right? We can't just look inwardly. That's the great lie of our culture, of our time, that, oh, just introspect yourself, deconstruct what you think, and you'll figure out who you really are, and then you'll truly be happy. No, we're only truly happy. We only have true peace through Christ. So in a minute, I'm going to pray. I noticed the last month we had like a backup problem, and I said we should have two rows, so we're going to have two pairs of servers up here. Okay, we might change this next month, but I don't know. But what I'm going to have everyone do this month is we'll still come to the middle aisle, and when you get here, you'll split off to one pair or the other and go back to your seats that way. And maybe that's the best way, maybe it's not, I don't know, we might change it. But the bread that you'll take from this loaf, it represents the body of Christ. That Jesus, in all his humanity, was broken for us, so our brokenness could be healed. And you'll take a cup, and the cup's filled with just grape juice, just Welsh's grape juice, right? But it means something. It symbolizes the blood Jesus spilled for us. That somehow this blood makes us white as snow. That our bodies are broken, like Jesus' body was broken to heal us, and his blood was shed to make us whole. So I'm going to pray. While I pray, I'm going to ask the servers that are serving to come up. And then I'll invite you forward. The band's going to play. Maybe we can put some music on. But let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving your life for us. We thank you for giving us a reminder of your great love for us, for giving us a reminder of your salvation, a reminder of your brokenness, your willingness to go above and beyond for us, your willingness to love us in a way that we don't even understand true love. We don't understand the depths of it, Lord. And so God, we ask you to, I ask you to be in this moment, move in this moment, Lord. Let this communion time touch hearts.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and share this message with a friend.